Hey, Tom, I brought you a gift. It's from Tiffany's.
What the fuck do I do with this blue box?
Well, I wanted to give you your speech back.
Bitch, we all know it's a help me note.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. My name is Tom. I'm your host. And joining us today, our guest co-host all the way from New York City, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, guys. The first time I was late and now I'm early. I just can't get it right. I'm Glenn. It's good to be back here.
Welcome to the show, Glenn. We love you. And now, of course, my partners in crime sitting in studio with me.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And unfortunately, the other one, Chris, who's in Germany studying, could not join us, cursive, due to the fact that he is, there's a huge time difference. He's like 6 hours ahead of us. So it is very late where he is, so he wasn't able to join us. But we do have a message from him, which we will relate to you guys later on in the episode. But we'd like to welcome you all to
The Dish.
So there's so much to talk about. A lot has gone on this week. I'd like to sort of kind of start things off with our cocktail. Well, I'll let Nick take that over because we have a very delicious cocktail that we put together for you today.
Yeah. So we decided to do something patriotic because, you know, well, The inauguration and whatnot. And there's Donald Trump, but I still believe in USA.
It's Donald Dump. Remember that.
Well, no, I'm just not calling him president, blah, blah. Okay. Blah. So it's just Donald Trump.
We got it.
So it's called US of A Rocks, and it is 2 ounces or however much vodka you want to put in it.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. Now, it calls for passion fruit vodka, but what we did instead was add passion fruit juice.
A nectar, which is absolutely delicious, Made by Goya.
Completely up to you if you want to use it or not. We also used a little bit of peach schnapps, 2 ounces of orange juice, some fresh squeezed lemon juice, and a little bit of simple syrup. Shake it up, put it on the rocks, then serve it up to your friends.
And it's absolutely delicious. What do you think about the cocktail? Is.
Oh, I love it. I'm living for it. Yeah.
It's fabulous. We also have other people here in the studio with us. I have a good friend of mine. His name is Brian, that's joining us. You can say hello if you want to.
Hello.
And our good friend Jill, who's been here many times before, say hello.
Hello.
And welcome you guys to the show as well. And feel free to chime in whenever you want or have something to say on any of the topics that we're going to discuss today. So one of the first things that I want to talk about is the big news out there. It is burning everybody's ears at this point because the White House press secretary, Sean Spicer, slams the media over reports of the crowd sizes at the inauguration for Donald Dump, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he goes on and he makes this announcement and really, like, just blurs lies out.
Well, it's beyond the lies, fuck all of that shit. The reality of the situation here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the fact that his first the secretary's first press...
Cursive.
Press conference. Thank you. Was the fact that he's addressing something like the numbers at his inauguration.
Yeah. Like, that's so insignificant.
So egocentric. It's ridiculous.
But they couldn't talk about, like, you know, the millions and millions of people that have gathered around the world to address an issue that's really important. And, you know, what's really even sadder, even, I don't even know if that's a word, but it's even, it's so sad-er. That then you have the counselor to the Mr. Trump come out and try to defend his comments and say that he provided alternative facts. What the fuck are alternative facts?
I'm just so impressed with her because, like, okay, guys, we lied to these people. How are we going to cover this up? Guys, we'll just call them alternative facts. Genius. Well, it's going to be great. It's gonna be
but
great.
You know what? It's I was done.
The sad thing is some people are buying it.
Yeah, it blows my mind. It blows my mind that people continue to be lied to and are just like, oh, yeah, that's okay. Like, it's one thing if, you know, okay, it's a lie, like, whatever. There are so many ways to back this up. Like, there's the photos of, you know, the Obama inauguration and Trump's inauguration. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, they kept track of how many people rode the subway that day.
Right.
There are less people that rode the subway. There are less people in attendance. There are videos. There are you know, people counting. Like,
it's insane. There's so
many ways to see this information is false.
Right. I mean, there was a video of the presidential parade. There was like nobody on the side of the street.
Yeah.
Like nobody was standing there for him.
It's like they put up all these stands and all these seats for nothing.
Yeah. There were far more people in protest in D.C. than there were at the inauguration. And that's just the fact.
And, you know, the gentleman who actually hosts Meet the Press, Chuck Todd, he was stunned when she came out and said alternative facts. Oh, he went in. I was like, yes. Her face. And then the thing is, as soon as she said, you know, he provided alternative facts, she smiles and she giggles because she knew she fucked up. She knew that it was like, oh, shit, I'm going to have to defend this comment now. It's like, how do you do that?
Well, and then Sean Spicer's also saying that he's going to hold the media accountable. Well,
how?
You have to hold yourself accountable because you're sitting there telling people false shit. Like, don't say you're going to hold somebody else accountable if you can't hold yourself accountable.
I was like, I cannot believe that I'm actually watching this. And if this is what the next 4 years are going to be like, it's going to be an interesting 4 years. And we're going to have a lot to talk about on the show and a lot of people to burn.
If we're still here, we'll see.
Well,
like, if this is what they, like, this is what they choose to lie about. Like, they're blatantly lying about this. Like, they're obviously going to lie about things that are actually important.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's a cool trend going on right now. The hashtag alternative facts. So people will make blatant lies and then say hashtag alternative facts. So, like, I really love the feel of pussy. Hashtag alternative facts.
Did you tweet that out?
I did not, but I could. I just came up with it off the cuff, you know, just like on the top of my head.
You know, I'm a bad gay. I really haven't looked at his Twitter account recently because I know that a lot of supposedly they like shut it down for like 24 hours after the alternative facts issue.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't tweet anything for like a good 12 hours.
Well, what I do know is that he changed his banner photo to a photo of President Obama's inauguration.
That sucks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's sad, too? The other day, actually, 2 hours after the inauguration, I went to look for the FLOTUS tag because, you know, I would always tweet FLOTUS, meaning Michelle Obama.
Because she was classy.
And it wasn't even 2 hours, and Melania Trump's picture was already on it.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I was destroyed. Well, I was like...
I'm not surprised that happened quickly, though.
My FLOTUS is gone. And a lot of other shit disappeared from the websites, too. For example, anything that had to do with the HIV or AIDS initiatives that were being publicized on the White House website were wiped out.
The whole LGBT page got taken down.
Done. And I'm like, okay.
Within an hour of him in office, an hour, the LGBT page was gone.
So it was climate change. So was civil rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, climate change wasn't gone. It was changed. Civil rights was changed also to like some... I think it was a pro-police website, and then the LGBT page was completely taken down.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So, we'll see what happens. And there was also some sort of, initiative to, what do they call that? We the People. Mm. They did a petition.
Yeah.
In where they are requiring him to release his tax returns.
He won't.
And they literally, like, that petition got so many signatures that they needed to respond to it. And his response was, we're not releasing our tax returns.
Yeah. Well, there's also a group of lawyers that are, putting a lawsuit in on Monday because he's, you know, violated the Constitution just by having his company not putting it in a blind trust. He's violating the Constitution, so they're going to sue him. We'll see what happens.
And for our listeners that are abroad, because we do have a lot of listeners that listen to us internationally, we had an inauguration here in the United States, and I'm sure that you guys probably seen it in your news. And Donald Dump, unfortunately, is the president of the United States. He's the president of those deplorables that put him in that office.
Did anyone see the video of Michelle coming down and meeting Barack, and he grabbed her hand and kissed it and like looked at her with like love, and then Melania comes down and he's like, hi.
Hello.
Yeah, what's up? Yeah, okay.
Or when she got out of the car
and he didn't
at the White House.
Yes.
He didn't even meet her. He just walked straight up, and then they did the same thing when Barack got to the White House when he met President Bush, and he waited for Michelle. Such a contrast.
So classy.
Well, I mean,
I miss him already.
I know. I mean, I honestly don't think that Melania and Trump actually have a relationship. I think it's more of a, they were married when he decided to do this, you know? And in 4 years, if they're still married,
Hey, listen, I think I'm really serious. Like, we did our opening monologue, but I think that that really was a help note in that box.
I think you might be
seriously,
right.
Because...
Well, you saw that meme of her, like, on the other side of the car while Trump is going up to President Obama. And,
run.
And it's like, that moment you're like, hey, maybe I can get away.
Just before I walk in. You know, and we criticize Donald Dump often on the show. We have been very critical, very vocal about our opposition to his presidency and to his election and everything that happened. It was just such a shock because no one expected that he would win. But one thing that's really disturbing me is how they're going after his son. Is it Byron? Is that his name?
What's his name?
I don't know.
I thought it was Barron.
Barron Trump. It's the youngest. He's the baby. He's Melania's son. You know, all that I ask.
Well, what are they saying about him?
Oh, they're going in on that poor child. There was a lot of negative stuff that was put online. I really didn't take the opportunity to read or even entertain the fact, but kids are off limits.
Completely.
Yeah. The Obamas were off limits. You know, the Bushes were off limits.
Well, the Obamas had nothing to report. So,
well, of course, because I mean, they were amazing people. And quite frankly, you know, if we have any listeners and you guys are thinking of, you know, putting some stuff out there on social media about Donald Trump, they're fair game. They're public figures. That poor child has nothing to do with it. He unfortunately is not in control of the situation. He has to sort of kind of ride the next 4 years with his father and mother. So
I do have to say one thing though.
Yes.
Every time you see him, he literally is like deadpan.
Well, I mean,
at the inauguration, he was just like, you obviously our listeners can't see my face right now, but he was just like,
what the fuck are we doing?
It's like he, look, Dad, what did you do to me?
He's probably, and you know what? That's probably the same feeling that a lot of these children have.
Well, I mean, this kid isn't stupid and he sees what people are saying and he sees in his home fucking city how people are reacting to his father and his family. How do you think that's going to make him feel? And now he's going to stand up and try to support his father when he knows that half the world isn't.
And that's,
well, actually half this country isn't, and then most of the world isn't.
Be careful, don't smack our friend over.
Sorry.
Trish is getting very excited. No, the thing is, it's that, you know, you're right, he now has to, because children nowadays grow up being in social media. They're exposed to a lot more things than we were ever at our age. I mean, all we had to worry about was our friend in school. Oh my God, do not install this update. Try tonight. We're in the middle of recording on our computers over here saying, oh, there's an update available. We're going to update now. Like, please don't do that. No, but you know, there's a lot of things that we didn't need to worry about when we were in high school other than go to school, get picked on, get bullied, maybe fight a couple of people and keep it going. But now,
well, that was Tommy's experience.
Yes. Yeah, get rid of fight a couple people and that was my experience.
No, but you know, it's I just took no shit from anybody and I had to because I was in an inner city school and one of the worst in the city of New Haven. And so that was I had to defend myself. If not, I would get picked on and be someone's punching bag.
But, right.
You know, it got to a point I was like, I'm not doing this shit anymore. You want to fight? Let's go outside. Let's do it. Get it out of the way.
This bitch is a scrapper,
but
so.
Today, you have social media. Today, you have all these other venues or avenues where someone can attack you. And an emotional attack is probably one of the worst. One that it's even worse than physical. Am I totally wrong?
No.
You know, it's hard. So just leave the poor kid alone. That's all I say. Cut on his mother, cut on his father, call her a slut, call him an asshole, I don't care. Leave that poor boy alone. That's all I got to say.
I can't believe you're even saying anything positive about that family. So,
well, it's not about the family. It's the fact that this is a child.
That's true.
Our responsibility.
But I'm proud of you.
Well, you know, I have to grow, right? Isn't the purpose of the show is to grow a little bit?
I guess.
Dumb Trump, but, you know, leave that poor boy alone.
We'll never grow away from that, though. Fuck him.
Well, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. So, Glenn, do you have anything that you'd like to share with us? He's like, oh, shit.
About this past week?
Yeah,
putting you on spot.
I would love to talk about, like, the Women's March. I went to the Women's March in New York. So, like, I started out, there was a rally that started, like, far east. And then the plan was to move past Grand Central and then up Fifth Avenue. There were so many people that they actually had to, like, stall. Because they had to keep on like waiting to have people go out. So there were some incredible speakers. I didn't get to see any of the speakers, but because I started at Grand Central. So I get out of Grand Central and it's just a standstill. It was more of a crawl than it was a march. And
the march like shut down the city almost.
Oh, absolutely.
It's crazy.
It was amazing. And there was a little spot in the corner of Grand Central. There was a people who just had like extra cardboard. So I grabbed a pen and I like made a little sign that said, I stand with you. And so
nice.
I just like stood on a little perch and like, you know, as people were walking by, like very slowly walking by, I waved my little sign at them and I actually did a video about it. So, all you listeners, you can go on my YouTube page. I don't know why I chose a smoky voice for that.
No, it's okay. You when I do Angels and Assholes, I have like a little sexy voice.
Yeah, he gets into it too.
You can go on my YouTube page. You know, after I'm...
So you recorded a video today and we do have another friend in studio, with us who helped you with that video. Mm-hmm. And, lovely Australian accent, by the way. It's like it took us all like by surprise. We're like, what?
Oh, stop.
So but he helped you produce part of that or all of that video, right?
Yeah, so I did a little bit of an end tag to the end of the Women's March video. I wanted to be specific about why we were marching, because I think a lot of people misinterpret the purpose of the march. They think like, okay, we're trying to get him out of office, and you know, we accept that he is our president, whether we like it or not. But now that he is there, he has to represent us.
Right.
And we are not whining. We are not like, oh, man, Hillary didn't win. No, like we are just saying we are here. We have to be represented by you, who is now our president.
Right.
And these are the things that we find important.
And I think that's why a lot of people are like, he's not my president. I won't call him president, because we don't feel like he represents us as a people. And so that's really important that you're getting that message out.
But, and you know, the important thing, too, is that not only did we feel that message tried to be conveyed by the women of this country, but by all of the LGBT community and all the men who also decided that, you know what, we're going to march in solidarity with our women who are looking to have their rights protected, their rights to their own, to make their own decisions when it comes to their reproductive health, you know, decisions that they need to make. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but worldwide.
I internationally, mean, that's what impressed
me.
Yeah.
Rallies held in Germany, rallies held in England or in the UK. I keep saying England, but I forget that England incorporates Scotland and Northern Ireland and all of, is it Northern or Southern Ireland?
Northern.
Let's just say it's the UK. And, you know, but it is important to know that, you know what, we were not alone. We had a lot of countries that stood with us, and it's remarkable to see.
Well, what's crazy is the amount of people you see that are marching worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he take a moment to think, what the fuck did I do to make these people feel this way? And how do I fix it? As the president of the United States, how do I fix it?
See, I don't even... I feel like that's not even...
No, I feel like he feels attacked, and he feels like his ego's attacked, so he's going to attack the marchers instead of address how people are fucking feeling.
Well, his way of,
which is
of
scary
attacking
as
them
a president.
Was pretty much saying that, oh, well, you know, my numbers were a lot more than what they're reporting.
He's probably going to say that there were more people at the inauguration than there were worldwide marching against him.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Me neither. And then he's probably going to be like, oh, well, you know, it was raining.
You know, there were a lot of amazing speeches. One of them, which took me by surprise, was one of the Judd sisters. She came out and she did a rap. And it was actually good.
Ashley, right?
Yes, Ashley Judd. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, whoa, because she kept calling herself nasty. She was a nasty woman.
Mm. Which is just not how I see her. But when she did that, I was like, I can get on board. All right.
And it was good. I mean, she was very enthusiastic about it. She was very into it. She was very passionate. And the crowd reacted to it. And let me tell you, it was good. And I think I'll have to find it and put a link to it with our post for this episode so that you guys could really see that. But I thought that was very impactful when I saw it.
And then, of course, she'll come on the show and do the rap for us.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens.
So, Ashley, if you're listening, you're more than welcome to come on Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, any day. So, March, what else? Nick, I know you have some stuff.
Well, I do, but it's kind of like really, this is like a weird segue, but hey, whatever. Okay. So Obama pardoned a gay man that was discharged from the military.
Mm-hmm.
And
Chelsea
so he did this,
Manning.
And his last week, he went through kind of like a little spree of being like, this person shouldn't be in jail. This person shouldn't be in jail. I feel like Jill has something to say.
I have nothing to say. I just wanted to have the microphone. Fencing towards me, because I'm inspired.
Well, I mean, what a lot of people don't realize is that Chelsea Manning, they threw the book at her because of the fact that she... It wasn't like a lot of other people that have released secrets from the U.S. government, like maybe one or two pages of certain things. They've gotten a couple of years, and they've been pardoned by other presidents. It's not the first time. This is not unprecedented.
Right, but he took that last week, and I don't know the exact number, but it was a decent amount of people that he pardoned. And this one example, I'm going to say his last name wrong. I know I'm going to, just like I do with all of our fucking senators. But Peter Heidgerd? Well, whatever. In 1989, he was a captain in the army. Mm-hmm. He was convicted for conduct of unbecoming an officer because he was in a relationship he was in a same-sex relationship with a fellow soldier. Mm-hmm. So he was imprisoned for being basically gay and an officer in the military. And Obama, this was 1989. Mm-hmm. I was two.
I was born.
And he was just pardoned.
Other people were just sperms, but yes.
And we don't know what that means for his...
They're still swimming in somebody's testicles.
But we don't know what that means for his, you know, dishonorable discharge, if that's going to change at all. But
it will. Well, it will. Actually, that was part of the pardoning.
No, it wasn't. Well, we don't know for a fact what will happen now that Trump is in presidency, because technically he's been pardoned, but he still has a dishonorable discharge. So we don't know what's going
to
happen.
I thought I read somewhere that all of that was supposed to be changed.
Supposed to be.
Because what ends up happening is that the laws now are different.
But he gets a trial. So he has to go and actually get all of that reversed. It doesn't just happen. So
You know what? I hope that he does, because with Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealed and gone, and men and women from being part of the LGBT community accepted now in the military, mm-hmm. and women serving in active duty, and all of these changes that occurred, I think that it's fair time for them to start really looking back at a lot of these things that they did in the past and saying, you know what? We're sorry. It doesn't take much to do it, because they do it to these prisoners that they keep locked up for 30 years and then find out that they were innocent, and then they come out and then they apologize and they sort of kind of expunge their record.
Right, but look at all the people that he's appointing right now. Dog Mattis.
Well, Jeff Sessions alone is probably one of the worst, but...
They will do anything in their power to make it so that they, you know, don't look like assholes, that they just... He was dishonorably discharged for a reason. They're going to do everything in their power to keep it the way it is, because he's a gay man. So we have to be vocal and stand up for him.
Well, we'll see what happens with Chelsea Manning too. I mean, she's still locked up. She's not due to be released until May, I believe. Sometime mid-May. And so we'll see what happens.
Because can that get reversed?
I don't think so. No. That's one of the things. For example, if that could have gotten reversed, I think that Nixon would have been locked up a long time ago with the next president that came in after him. So No. I don't think that can be reversed. It's final.
It might be, because I know with executive orders, future presidents can undo executive orders, because there's been talk about Trump undoing some of the executive orders that Obama made.
That he can.
So,
but the pardoning, that's permanent.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, because if that were the case, Nixon would be right back in jail, because the next president after that didn't like Nixon.
Would have. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
He would have undone what the previous president did. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think it was his own vice president that actually
pardoned him.
Oh, okay. When he was part of that whole Watergate thing. So I read that somewhere. Don't remember where, but it's just interesting that, you know, today's episode is probably going to be a political shit show.
I mean, it's going to be a shit show to begin with, because we've been like hanging out since 5 o'clock.
And there's a big nor'easter, okay, that's coming, and most of it started today. So unfortunately, we had a little snafu in where we weren't able to start on time, and there's a lot of ice out there. So Glenn safely got here to the studio with Jill and her friend, and we're very grateful that they were safe. So we had to start it a little bit later, and as a result, we had already had one too many cocktails. So if you start hearing some cursive...
Is there such a thing?
No. Well, you know, it's when it's Nick, you just never know.
That's really... You know what? You're 100% on point with that one. You just never know.
Because so it sounds like I have to catch up to you guys.
You do, because, you know, one...
Don't play the game of catch up.
Oh. One, like, we already had shots and everything. It's bad.
You had one shot.
Well, one. And, well, it's like 40 shots in this one cocktail that you made me the first one.
Yeah, I mean...
What did you say to me?
sorry, Tommy, that's going to be a little strong.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, I had made three and they were all even. And then I get to Tommy's and there's just like vodka and there's no room for the soda. And I was like, oh, well.
Oh, there's so much in there.
Sorry about that, Tommy. But have fun. Have a good day. Enjoy yourself. And then he took a sip of it and he was like, what did you do to me?
Exactly. I was coughing. I was like, holy shit, thank God for cheese. And I'm just stuffing myself with crackers and cheese because I was like, oh, I'm going to be fucked up for the episode. It is, we're 25 minutes in. You guys want to take a break?
Well.
Or do you want to talk about one more story and then go to break?
Let's talk about one more story.
All right, what do you got?
So this is a little sad, and I don't know if you all saw this, but so there was like...
It's also very enraging, too.
Yeah. So there was a mother that stabbed her son to death for being gay. So I guess this happened on Christmas Eve. I'm going to say the name wrong because it's a Spanish name or
Puerto
Rican.
Do you want me to say it for you?
Yeah, please.
Well, the mother's name is Tatiana Lozano Pereira.
She was 32, and she had a 17-year-old son.
And his name was Itaberil Lozano. Ooh. Yeah, that's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Even Tom had a hard time with that one.
I know. Well,
to be honest with you, I don't think
I-T-A-B-E-R.
I don't think this name is actually Spanish. I think it's actually Brazilian. Mm. Yeah. Itaberli Lozano. I think because the last name Pereira is actually a very common name in Brazil.
It might be. And I'm sorry if I screwed that up.
I'm sorry.
So that's why you don't try. Like, just don't try.
I know. I'm just going to, like, just talk.
In general. Yeah. Don't try.
Just row with the tongue.
So they were coming home, and they were in a heated argument. Once they got back to the house, I guess the mother had hired two men to assault her son, trying to scare the gay out of him, if you will, and beat the shit out of him. At one point, the mother then, I guess, got so upset or so angry, asked these gentlemen to kill her son, stab her son. And that was when the men were like, no, I won't do that. So she herself went ahead, grabbed a knife off the kitchen counter, and stabbed her own 17-year-old son to death for being gay. Then lit his body on fire, and that's where the police found his charred body.
That is so sad. You know, it's... And then here we are, and we're worried about what the outside world is going to do to us and what we expect from society. Hey, listen, you're not accepted. If you go out there and you're either too flamboyant or too feminine, you might get beat up or you might get tortured or you might get, you know, picked on. And the one place where he probably felt safe, he comes home and he gets butchered and burnt.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I can't imagine like the amount of hatred that a mother needs to kill her own child.
You know, and part of me wonders if it's, is it really hatred or is it, you know, her own fear of being judged? And there is a point at any, you know, in anybody's mind where when you're in this moment where you're doing something, you just kind of black out, right? And you have so much anger. What the fuck did I do? This is my fault. Because I know my parents felt that way. This is my fault. My son's gay because of this or this. And they got angry at me and took it out on me because they couldn't process their own emotions. Not that this gives this woman an excuse.
Not at all. I mean, you killed your own son.
You killed your own son. But this woman probably had no idea what she did until it was done.
Well, she better plead insanity. It's either that or better throw the book at her. Because that's just unacceptable.
I hope she goes away forever, if not whatever happens to her.
Because you just never know what this amazing, beautiful young soul would have come out to be.
Yeah.
You know, what his contributions to the world would have been. And you took that away from your own son.
And it's really sad to think that, I mean, we talk about this all the time, but, you know, in America, there's, in a lot of ways, I mean, you see stories similar to this, but we are, in progressive areas, pretty okay. I mean, we're safe. We have friends and we have a really good support network. And then you have places like this and families like this. It's scary to think that there are kids out there living lives like this every day. I mean, this is just one instance. There are kids all over the nation feeling this way. And I wish there was a way we could reach out to every single one of them and just hold them and be like, it's going to be okay. Yeah. But
I mean, we've heard stories like this over and over again, and I remember that in one of our episodes, we actually covered a story about a very young man who lived in Colombia who committed suicide because of the issues that he was going through in school at his academy, and yep. you know how his mother took it upon herself after her son's death to start a foundation. It's actually called La Fundación de Sergio Urrego. And it was a beautiful story because Google actually jumped on board and started this project with mom, and where they help children actually view pride parades from all over the world.
What is it? Google Cardboard? Is that what it's
through
called?
Through Google Cardboard, where yep. they slide the phone in. And the most impactful moment of that entire video, as I was watching what the what the whole initiative was all about, is watching those kids take those glasses off.
And there were just tears.
The tears coming down, because they were like, oh my God, I'm not alone.
Yeah, there are people like me out there.
Mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit. You know, this is an eye opener for them. And I think that, you know what? This would have probably been the perfect opportunity for this mother to realize that what her son was nothing wrong, and yeah. that she would have had support had she made a different choice, you know? And that's the sad part about it. So
that woman's like Matthew Shepard's mother. She took a tragedy and she ran with it and made something positive and special out of it. And
she did.
We can only thank her and be there to support her in any way that we can.
So, and if you guys want to, you know, we did it, I believe it was during episode, let me see. It was episode 45. If you want to tune into that episode and get all the information for that foundation and how you can help if you wanted to, absolutely check it out. We encourage that you do. It is a beautiful movement. And that's what, you know, sometimes that's what we want to bring you sometimes, so that you can make the efforts of being able to help your community in many ways. You don't have to be immediately where you are, yep. but anywhere in the world, you know.
It's I think this thing. Story is also really important, too, about this poor young kid that passed. Because, yeah, we have a lot of stuff going on stateside that we need to be aware of, and then we need to be standing strong for and fighting for. But we also cannot forget about our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted internationally. So no matter what we're going through, we need to be there for the entire community as a whole.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, there's so many different areas of our community that it's worth looking into, you know, helping. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of help out there. I mean, there's even the Trevor Line, which is amazing. If you ever have a situation where you're thinking about suicide,
the Trevor Project.
Yeah, the Trevor Project. Thank you. And it's an amazing opportunity for you to be able to just find someone that can help you.
Yeah.
So take advantage of that.
This situation was a little different. He didn't have a chance, but yeah. Anyway.
But we're going to take a break. But before we take our break, as we know, we always do a segment called Angels and Assholes. And so let me give Trish some love.
Thank you,
girl. So we can do that. Hold on one second. Yes.
All right. So the following senators from the state of Utah, Orrin Hatch, Republican, and Mike Lee, Republican, voted no to common sense gun reform. For their inaction, we label them
assholes. All right. And we would like to dedicate. Oh, Lord. Alyssa. We would like to dedicate this episode to Akira Monet Murray, 21 years old. Actually, no, excuse me. She was 18 years old. She was a basketball star and an honor student at her West Catholic Preparatory High School in Philadelphia. She was vacationing in Orlando, Florida, when she visited Club Pulse the night she was gunned down on June 12th of 2016. Akira Monet, as we said, was 18 years old. We'd like to dedicate this episode to her. She was 18 years old, baby girl. May you rest in peace. We're going to take a break. We'll leave you with Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. We'll be back.
I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Once again I hang my head to cry. I can't find a reason why they died. We will find the answer blowing in the wind. But everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood.
love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now, when there's no one left but you? Who are you gonna gun down, if you can't kill the truth? That it's inside of us, it's inside our blood, it's inside of us. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. That was Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. We're going to miss that song when we're done with Angels and Assholes. You know, we've got quite a few names to go, but eventually we're going to get to the end of that list, and we're going to miss it. But I do want to tell you, that song, Pulse by Melissa Etheridge, is available on iTunes, and every single sale of that song, all proceeds go to Equality Florida. So if you guys like the song, and you're not tired of it yet on our show, feel free to, you know, swing over to iTunes and purchase a song. It is for a good cause, and we love it. It's been the staple of our Angels and Assholes, our segment, and we love it. So download it, make sure that you get it, and keep it on your iPod or your iDevice, whatever it is that you decide to buy it on.
You'll get there.
Yeah, eventually. So by this time, you already know we're on segment two, and or the second half of our show. And by this time, we're seriously speaking cursive.
Like today,
really bad. So what do we got? There's so much that we still need to cover.
I know, but we also didn't talk about like everybody's week.
Okay.
Well, did everybody have a good week?
I had a really, really good week. So we'll go with the no first. So tell us, Glenn, why did you not have a good week?
Let's be real. So like I didn't realize how depressed I was about the election until inauguration. Because there were all these moments where I thought it wouldn't happen.
Everybody was saying that.
There was a topic about like the electors are gonna vote outside of what they're supposed to, so they're gonna like somebody else. Well, and then we're gonna impeach, like all the controversy about Russia tampering with our election. We're gonna get him, you know, we're gonna re-vote or whatever. Like there were so many moments where I thought, oh my God, this is it. Like he won't actually get in, he won't get elected. Right. And then the day actually happened and I was like, oh my God, it's actually happening. And when I found out that the LGBT page was taken off, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I was like,
it's real.
I've been deleted. I don't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not important in this country. I'm meaningless. And I feel helpless to stop it. And there's nothing I can do. And just like, I spent the entire day like crying in my bed. And then I actually had a friend who had to like get me out of my funk to be like, you know what? Like, you crying in your bed is not going to help things. It's not going to fix anything. It's not going to stop anything. And you may feel powerless, but you're not. And at that point, I was like, I hadn't planned on going to the Women's March. Because I was like, okay, well, what is one more person going to be there going to do? And, you know, we're not going to stop him from getting elected if we're there, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, that's your privilege talking. And I was like,
whoa.
Yeah. Because I consider myself woke. I consider myself a person that like checks his privilege. I understand. I know moments I have privilege and when whatever. But he was like, you know, you don't have to be there. You don't have to, like, women's rights doesn't apply to you. It doesn't impact your life, but you still have to be there. Like, you have to fight for them. You have to help them. And I was like, oh my God, like, you're so right. That was my privilege talking. It doesn't impact my life. I can keep on going as a white male. I'm largely not going to be affected by this election, but like, I have to be there for those who are affected more than I am.
But as a gay male.
Yeah. Well, I'm still going
to
be fucked. But
I think that Nick wanted to actually bring to light a story. Well, not a story. It was a post by Audra McDonald.
She's my girl.
That's love your girl. Her. And oh my God, I think that her statement pretty much sums it up as to where we need to go from now. And I'll let Nick touch on that.
Just before we get into that, I just wanted to say that day, for some reason to me, I mean, like, I was crazy busy at work. I was driving here to there and doing all this crazy stuff. But it really felt like the calm before the storm. Like, everybody was just, like, kind of down and out of
bed. I didn't watch it. Yeah.
No, not watching anything. Just, like,
the
atmosphere around work, around wherever the hell I was. It was just, like, kind of quiet.
I just felt like it was numb. Like, people knew, oh, we know what we're going to get ourselves into at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? He's getting sworn in at 12 o'clock midday. You know that we're done.
Yeah. And so when I saw this post, this tweet from Audra McDonald, it just really resonated with me. I needed to see it for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I shared it on Facebook and on Twitter and whatnot. But she said, remember, tomorrow we're not crowning a king or bowing down to a dictator. Tomorrow, our new employee starts his temp job. We are the boss.
Exactly.
I love that.
We the people.
I love that.
And I think that's the important thing that we need to remember, that, you know, if we don't like something, obviously we didn't not like it enough to prevent it from getting into office. But once he's there, if we don't like something, we're going to have the power. We the people have the power to change it. And so if we're protesting, if we're going out there and we're expressing ourselves and putting our voices out there, that is exactly what you need to be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you sit back and do nothing, they will take over and they will do whatever they want with us and they will make a mockery out of our democracy.
Yeah,
and that's what we don't want to happen.
And they're doing all this crazy stuff that, you know, they're putting all this out into the media so that we're distracted, while they're signing anti-abortion laws behind closed doors or anti-abortion executive orders behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. Shit is happening. We need to be aware. There's a lot going on in the media, and there's a lot that's going to be thrown in your face on social media, but you need to be aware of what's going on elsewhere as well, because shit's happening.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the important thing that you also have to remember, too, is that, you know, the way he's spinning it, that the media is against him and that the media is out to get him and they're reporting falsely, that's wrong. The media is the most important part of our democracy. There is a reason why it is enshrined in our Constitution. We have the right the constitutional right to ensure that we have freedom of the press, so that, you know what, if you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing and they find out, you are not going to get persecuted for reporting it and for bringing that to the people who are your bosses.
Yeah. And this we're going to call you out on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's important. So support your media people.
There's this, I have this weird feeling that he feels like he's above the law.
He's always felt that way.
You're not above the law. You're the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. You represent the law. So represent the law. Don't fucking break the Constitution on day one or day two.
Well, he's the face of America at this point, you know. Unfortunately, it's an orange little Cheetos face, but yes, he is the face of America.
That's what I'm most upset about, is like, truly, as the head of the executive branch, he doesn't have that much power in policy, but he has power in attention. He now has a platform to speak to. Like, every year he's going to give the State of the Union. Every year he's going to make these addresses, and he has
a platform.
And he's going to, their people, his clout because of where he
to
is.
The first
and
State just of like, the Union.
Oh, God. Like, you know, there are checks and balances to make sure he doesn't do anything too crazy, but like,
but just at this point, with the Republican held Senate and House,
we're fucked. The thing that's on my horizon that I'm apprehensive about and trying to fight back against right now is the First Amendment Defense Act that is going to go through Congress
for religions.
It's supposed to be the bill is supposed to go through, and it's supposed to be for the First Amendment rights of religion, and you're supposed to, you know, be able to defend your religious rights. But that means that you, as a business, are allowed to discriminate based on your religion, aka you can away LGBT people that want to use your store, and
not just LGBT though.
And
true.
That's,
I mean, anything
not
within
the purpose
religion.
Of the current laws that already protect you, that give you the right to practice whatever religion you believe in, but it doesn't let you use that religion that you believe in as a vessel to discriminate against others.
Right. Exactly.
So we're not saying, hey, listen, you can't practice what you believe in, but you're not going to sit there and enforce that on other people. And if you're going to be a public entity or a business that serves the public, you need to serve the public, regardless of what your religious beliefs are. And what he's saying is that when this law comes into place, or if they start moving this law through Congress, that this law will allow small businesses, or anyone for that matter, to say, well, I don't believe what you believe in, and therefore I don't have to take care of you.
Yeah. I mean, it's essentially like it is a step away from separate water fountains. It really is. And Trump has actually said that when it passes his desk, he will sign it. So we have to make sure that it does not make it through Congress, which unfortunately, with a Republican run,
he also
Congress,
said that Mexico was going to pay for the wall.
Yeah,
that's
well,
you know what?
Sorry.
But, you know, that's the moment of when we have to call our representatives and say,
how is
hey,
it that they're going to say it? Estás muy equivocado, señor Dump.
No. I don't know what he said, but dump
I said you're
the end
very,
was...
very, very, very wrong, Mr. Dump.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah. I can relate to that in any language. If I knew more German, I would say more, because I am, you know, I'm playing the role of Chris today.
Yes, he is, and Chris is in Germany, and he's not with us, and we miss him dearly.
I'm Chris's understudy.
Exactly. So Glenn decided that, you know, he was going to come join us, and we're so happy because we love Glenn. Glenn has been on the show a couple of times now, and he's always great.
Stop.
The last
time.
Stop.
I have to say, I think he's more attractive than Chris.
Well, you're right.
Yeah.
We look at Chris with eyes of love, as far as like a brother. But Glenn, you're game, baby. I got two beds. Pick one.
Oh, fuck.
Why would you pick different beds, though?
The guest room's mine. The guest room's mine. So if he picks the guest room, it's me.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, I see.
So, sorry. But not sorry. So anyway, back to our topic. So Glenn, you were saying that, you know, you're really scared for what's coming.
Yeah, well, it was Friday. I was really scared, and I really felt alone and helpless, and I needed my friend to, like, give me some sense. And and then Saturday, I went from being depressed and scared and sad to being empowered and inspired. So, you know, now, like, I wanna use my platform. I mean, I have like 160 followers on YouTube. This is barely a platform, but like, I want to start making content that speaks to that kind of thing. It's like, I want to make a video eventually when the vote for FADA, the First Amendment Defense Act, comes into town. Like, I want to make a video about, like, how can we stop that? What can we...
But can,
like,
you repeat it again? What, it's the...
The First Amendment Defense Act.
Okay.
FADA.
So we have to defend our First Amendment now. I feel like we're contradicting our Constitution by putting all these fucking stupid defense acts in place. Like, by putting this in place, we're imposing oppression on a people.
Yeah.
Which is the point of why our Constitution was in place to
but
begin
you
with.
Know, right.
To
avoid those kind of things. Yeah. But you know what I love most about shit like this is that then you get a group of people that become you light a fire under them and then they just go. And that's what happened to the LGBT community in DOMA. They were like, oh no, we need to make sure that our voices are heard. And we fought. And then DOMA came down. And then Proposition 8 in California mm-hmm. was overturned as a result of all this craziness. And then, you know, you look at people like Judith Windsor, and, you know, I can never say his name. Obergefell? Did I say that right? He was a gentleman that
Isn't
actually
sued. Ogenfeld?
Say it again?
Ogenfeld? Something like that?
I don't know. Anyway, he was the one that actually sued because.
Thanks, Brian.
I tried.
As a result of that, marriage equality became the law of the land. I hate that I'm Latino sometimes because then I mispronounce a lot of last
Stop
names.
Stop blaming your shit on Latino.
And listen, I speak two languages.
I mispronounce people's last names all the time.
I feel like that's a really important phrase though. Stop blaming your shit on Latino. Like that should be the gift. It's like so useful.
Well, I mean, like
bumper sticker
for so many reasons, right?
Stop blaming your shit on Latino.
I mean, it's not the Latinos. If anything, like, they're helping us.
This can
right?
go anywhere.
Yeah,
anywhere.
I just love like whenever someone has like an accent like that. Like normally Tom doesn't have an accent, but everybody says anything Latino, it comes out. So it's hey, how's it going, guys? I'm Latino. And like, for just that one word, it pops out.
Well, you know, when he pronounces the angels for our episode, it's just like his voice changes completely. He's like, Domi Ortiz.
I love
like,
it,
salsa
Heather.
Music slowly plays in the background.
Yeah.
We all feel a little bit more pregnant.
And we're really unsure why, because this is a gay home. Yeah. So. Shit.
No, I mean, I was born here in the US of A, so I know the importance of being able to actually speak my what is perceived to be my native tongue, which is English. And then I also know the importance of having or ensuring that I retain a lot of my cultural background and learning my native tongue from my parents' side, which is Spanish. And so when I go back home, a lot of the people that were born here and go back to Puerto Rico or go back to any of their Spanish speaking nations tend to sort of kind of speak Spanglish, and it's very broken. It's very, not where it needs to be. And I made it a point as a child or even in my adolescence to make sure that, you know what, if I was going to speak my tongue, it was going to be great. I sound like Donald. It's going to be huge.
It's going to be terrific.
It's going to be fantastic.
And so, I think it's interesting that you chose to use the phrase, I know how to actually speak. When you said that when you speak like without your accent, that's actually speaking. That's an interesting way of wording that.
Well, because like I said before, a lot of people think that Spanglish is okay. And one of my worst fears is that as a culture, as a Spanish culture, that we lose our language. It is such a sexy, it is such an elegant language.
I'm like German. I love you, Chris. But it's like he says things and I'm like, what the fuck? That's not even attractive. You're like,
like what?
Like it's like it's not
eine kleine Salat. Danke.
You just made it so much better for me. Why can't you be here for him all the time?
No, Danke. I did an international tour in Germany, and there was one while we were in rehearsals. There was one store that was open after rehearsals were over. It was the only place. It was a little donor flesh place. So basically like kebabs and that kind of thing.
Donor flesh. I understand. I'm
yeah,
with you.
Let's be real. Flesh is like meat. Ooh, so it's yes. flesh. So I had
the flesh of donors.
There was one girl in the cast who was actually German. So I had her record on my phone. I'll see if I can play it. How to order in German. And I just listened to it a bunch of times. And that's how I learned how to speak that one phrase. So I can't speak very much in German, but where is it?
It's like that little old lady that used to say, like, where's the beef in the commercials back in the 80s. Loved her. She was great.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay, but she's so cute. She's like a living Disney princess. So this is how I learned German.
Hallo, ich hätte gerne ein Döner mit Hähnchenfleisch, Käse und einem großen Salat. 5 Euro. Danke.
Isn't that the most adorable thing you've ever heard? So that's how I learned German.
Can you repeat that and then tell me what it means?
Ich möchte eine große Salat, eine Donner mit einem großen Salat und kleine Salat. No, kleine Käse.
So much salad.
Danke. So it means
Danke.
I would like an order of like Donner. So like it's just like. It's just like lamb kebab, basically.
Every time I hear the word "dunka," I just keep thinking of a fondue with just dunk it. If I were to ever go to Germany and someone said "dunka" to me, I'd be like, "What are we dunking? Do you have a fondue, something anywhere? Chocolate fountain? Yeah, sure, I'll dunk it."
Yeah. I'm sorry, and I'm glad that we're talking about this right now because I love Chris to death, but. You just made German a sexy lexicon.
Yes! And he can't do that. Glenn North is like, na, 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 na. And I'm like, what just happened? Guest room, let's go.
Yeah, the guest room is right on the other side of that wall.
Oh, yeah. Ein großen Salat is a large salad.
Ladies and gentlemen, I gotta go. That's our show. Goodbye. Let's go.
So, Chris, I know you're gonna listen to this episode, mm-hmm. and I need you to take some notes for when you get home.
Make it sexy. Stop mm-hmm. being rude about it.
Tell me about your salad again.
Oh, is große.
I fucking can't.
Mit Käse. With cheese.
So anyway, if I wasn't sore today, I would be up that tree in a minute.
I know, baby boy. I know. So tell us, why are you sore?
Okay, so for our listeners, if you are performing a sexual act, start in the right position to begin with, because if you start on your side and you're there for a while, your entire side will then start to hurt. So my entire left side is sore right now.
And her inside.
I'm trying to imagine like being on my side the whole time.
Okay, well, the situation was
she can't even describe it. It was just that good.
I was doing something on my side for a while.
Well, anyway, so y'all remember that last name I was trying to pronounce before we got into all this craziness? It's actually Obergefell, okay? Versus Hutch. That was the decision that allowed us to have marriage equality around the law. But going back to that, I just wanted to throw that out there because I literally, while they were talking, I was looking, I'm like, oh, fuck, I need to make sure I get this last name right because the community will murder me. But going back to your go. Okay.
I'm done.
What side?
My left side's real fucked up right now.
Your left nut?
No. It's like my neck and my shoulder and my lower back and ass.
It's his whole body. He just got a full body sexual workout and it worked. And it's about time. And he's actually
the gym
happy.
Is an important place, people. I've forgotten that.
And he's actually happy. And we love you for it, baby. So whoever it was probably somebody named Steve. Thank you.
That's a pretty
seriously.
That's just the guess. We just all just guess Steve.
I mean, I feel like everybody guesses Steve. Actually, Red, who's in studio today. Last night he came to the bar to support Tommy because it was his first night as our karaoke DJ and he did a wonderful job.
Another venture for me.
But he, at the end of the night, was sitting at the bar. We were closing up and Red tends to stay after we close and hang out with us as we close up. And he goes, I should probably keep some distance from you. My confirmation name is Steve.
Because the joke is, you know, every single person he dates, his name is either Steven.
Stefan.
Steve or Stefan. I'm like, stay away from the Steves.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of Chris's on my record. A lot of Chris's.
Well.
Just saying.
Our Chris from the show is not one of them.
He's a homosexual.
Yeah.
Homosexual.
Yes. Homosexual.
I like it that way. Homosexual.
Homosexual.
Yeah,
I wonder what it means.
I have to say, you know what? So, as I was saying.
Gurfen crash.
I have to tell you, though, I did study in Puerto Rico for a couple of years, and I'm really happy that I did because I'm super proud of the fact that I will not be one of those individuals that will forget our tongue, our native tongue. So,
honey, When it comes to tongue and you, you're fine.
Yeah, I know.
Don't forget your tongue.
So our friend Red here, or our friend Brian, is in the house, and he got himself, he's going through a midlife crisis, and he got himself a nice little candy apple red Miata.
Ooh.
And tell us, how does it drive? I heard it's a stick. You have to grab it.
Yes, you do.
Okay, bring come forward. Come to the mic. Don't be afraid of the mic.
I'm not afraid.
Okay. Come closer to it, like if you're going to suck it.
Oh, my God.
It's okay.
How close do you want?
Exactly like that. So tell us, how does your new amazing little like red fire engine, like delicious little car, candy apple red car, goes?
It's freaking fast.
And you love it?
Of course I do.
Be very careful tonight, because there's a lot of ice out there.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of worried.
Yeah, I'm worried for you. I have an extra bed. Or you can just jump in.
How
mine.
Many beds do you have?
There's no sheets on it.
Well, where?
On the spare bed.
Yes, there is. You just have to pull the comfort off.
You didn't have to wash those sheets. I didn't do anything too bad on them.
Well.
I thought it was the couch.
So
that too. Don't
there was a lot of things that happened. I went away last weekend to Washington, D.C., and no, it was not to acknowledge our current president in any way, shape, or form. I went to say goodbye to my homeboy, Obama. No, kidding.
I went to a leather festival.
I went to a leather festival called MAL.
That's basically the same thing.
And MAL was amazing, and it's crazy, and there's a lot of craziness that goes on in MAL. A lot of it has to do with some sexual things that go on. But what we did was we took a whole hotel, the Hyatt Regency Hotel, and we shut it down. And the only people that are allowed to actually reserve rooms are people that are part of this convention. And so it is a shit show from beginning to end.
I wonder if that's because they don't want to offend the other patrons. Well, to be honest,
No. Because
you'd be really pretty surprised if you were like a normal patron. You were like walking around, and then a leather daddy is like walking the halls.
When we were FaceTiming, because we FaceTimed a bunch while he was there, literally every single time he'd be like, flip the camera around, and it was just like harnesses
everywhere. But
everywhere.
Not only that, there was people, for example, in just underwear running around with jock straps with their asses hanging out. They had assless chaps. There were people that just had a little like bandana covering their penis, and they were walking around naked.
And Tommy would lift up the bandana.
There was okay. Hotel rooms that were just had the door open, and there was like the sling up, and someone was getting pounded, and right there, you just walk right by it and you just stay there.
I have just a quick question. Yes. About the aesthetic of all of this. Okay,
sure.
Because the aesthetic is over.
Is all of the leather black?
No, there's red leather, there's black leather, there's red leather, yellow leather, different colors.
all of it? Or there's just red etched, and yeah, red and black?
There's etched leather, there's different colors. I don't know if it's etched actual leather but you know, too.
There
they
are
work
other
with
colors. I'm just thinking like it's a lot of people who showed up to the party with the same outfit on. That's what I'm
saying.
And I'm like,
so here's the thing.
It's hard to not be unique in that situation.
So here's the thing. So when you go into the Hyatt, so the main entrance to the Hyatt is street level. But when you go into the main entrance, then you go down these escalators and there's a huge lobby.
Huge.
Huge.
Gonna yes, be huge. How dare you?
Just imagine.
It's huge.
Just imagine.
It's January 22nd.
About.
23rd.
I would say 400 men packed in a lobby. All in harnesses and in leather, or with no clothing, barely any clothing on, having a good time. You don't even need to leave the hotel.
I'm a gay man, and I would have a hard time with that. I'm just saying. I would.
So I went with a friend of mine, and he was showering. We were in our room, and the fire alarm goes off. This is a 17-story building. So,
oh my God,
we have to pack everything up. Of course, the first thing I packed was my computer. Because I was like, oh shit, everything for my show is on this. I need to take this with me. And so he's in the shower. I'm like, hi, mate, you have to get dressed. You have to put your clothes on. We have to go. Because we don't know what's going on.
Whose fantasy was that?
Oh, I don't know.
Come on out. And come out wet.
So it was raining. It was cold.
Oh, no.
It was Saturday night. It was horrendously cold. And so we're all exiting the hotel. And we're all outside on New Jersey Avenue, right in D.C., in harnesses, in nothing. People didn't even have time to grab their coats. They're freezing. Finally, they determined that there was nothing wrong with the building, so they're letting everybody in, and now you go into the lobby, and there's a shitload of people just trapped in what I would say is probably the size of a decent, like, huge ballroom. And we're trying to get to our rooms, and they can't let us into the elevators because the fire department hasn't arrived to turn them on to allow people to go back up. So, mind you, some people were, like, in underwear, coming out of showers. Jaime managed to actually get dressed. But then we get there, and finally, 45 minutes after, we were waiting in line 45 minutes to go to our rooms. We get there. We're able to get in. We change. We go back down. We start having cocktails, whatnot. We go out. We went to a bar. We hung around with the locals and did a lot of stuff. We come back at 3:45 in the morning. Some motherfucker decides to do it. Pull the fire alarm.
No.
At 3:45 in the morning, we're
fantasy.
All in underwear. Some people didn't even have clothes on because they were in the hallways having sex. Had to go outside.
Oh, my God.
It was crazy.
And have sex outside? In the
well, no. They just have to just go outside.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy. And then, like, when you look at when you're walking in the hallways, there's, like, this little courtyard in the center. So you can see, if you don't have your curtains closed, people can see into your rooms. So people purposely leave their curtains open, and they're plowing each other and having sex, and slings are in the middle. And you're looking at all these little squares because they're all individual rooms. And I'm like, oh, look. It's Hollywood Squares. I'm just waiting for Betty White to, like, pop out and be like, "Ha, bitches, I survived 2016. It was funny. I had a great time. And then, of course, I came back and we recorded our MLK episode. And so, yeah, it was fun.
Nice.
DC was fun.
The moral of the story, though, was I was stuck here watching in Tommy's apartment watching his dogs.
Yes.
Now, his dogs are a pain in the ass. I love them, but they're a pain in the ass. But Fitz is a racist. Fitzgerald is a racist animal. Every time we went outside for a walk, and Tommy lives in a progressive neighborhood. That's the way I'm going to call it. It's progressive.
We have Spanish. We have blacks. We have a little bit of everything here.
And then there's the white gay man walking two fucking Yorkies down the street. And every single time Fitzgerald wants to attack anybody black, if it's Hispanic, if it's Asian, if it's white, it's fine. But if it's black, that dog went nuts. And I'm like like white gay boy walking down the street like, "Shut up, Fitz! Shut up, Fitz! Shut up!" So his dogs are racist.
I think it's so funny because
I thought you said one of them was. Now all of a sudden they're both are? Leave Oliver alone.
No, I said Fitz was racist.
Because his dogs are racist.
But Oliver supports Fitz, so.
So he is racist by association. It's so funny
because you made this case like we're about, like you're hating on an animal. We're like, oh, surely you won't hate him. You're like, he's a racist. We're like, oh, we hate him. Like, your audience just got with you real fast. Mm-hmm. It was like a really legitimate reason to hate on this dog.
But then ask him what they do afterwards. As soon as he sits down on that sofa, where were they?
My face.
And where else?
My chest.
And where else?
That's really it.
Mm. Yeah, they were all over you.
Yeah. No,
my dogs are absolutely lovable creatures.
Yeah.
There's not an evil bone in their body.
I'm not an animal person, but I let them sleep with me in bed. Mm-hmm. One was between my legs.
Well, he didn't let them.
Until the other night, it was the most action I got in a long time. And then I had another one on the side of me, and they were really
adorable.
Is that
why you were on your side somewhere?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Just feeling awkward.
Okay. We're still talking about the dogs? Or?
You do know bestiality is illegal in the U.S., right?
I thought you had cameras, honey.
I do.
Okay.
Wait until those videos come out. No, but leave my dogs alone. Jesus, my little babies. Those are my angels. So anyway, what else have we got?
Yeah. Well, wait. Which bar did you go to? I used to live near DC.
Well, I went to number 9.
Okay.
Yep, okay. And then we also went to what was the other one? It's right around the corner from number 9.
Town?
Oh no, Trade.
Trade.
Oh,
Trade.
I've never been to Trade. And I actually enjoyed Trade. It's very nice. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of what's the Saddle Bar up in New York?
A Flaming Saddle?
Flaming Saddle. So it reminds me like that because the bar is like very long and it's against the wall and then you have, the space to be actually go out and dance, and it's pretty cute. The crowd was amazing. DC, we had food. We went to this restaurant. Oh my God. We actually had Panamanian food. I have friends of mine that live there.
What the hell is that?
It's arroz con pollo.
Can you say that country
Panamanian?
Panamanian?
From Panama.
From Panama.
Thank you. Because that's not a word.
Panamanian
is.
I know. Can you just go with me here?
No, thank you.
Yeah, he's right. It's not a word.
Thank you, Glenn.
God, I will cut you both.
No.
Why do you say that in the least sexy voice you can produce?
Have you guys ever noticed?
What do you mean I'm not sexy?
When it comes to like little words for Tommy, he screws it up. But then Panamanian nails it. What the fuck is going on with you?
It's because it's Spanish.
Oh. Yeah, no, that's when his accent came out.
Panamania, you know, all that good. Panama.
Arroz con pollo.
Anyways, el arroz con pollo.
So yeah, guys, I was going down in D.C. and I was hanging out. I had some arroz con pollo.
No,
it's
no, but it was delicious. And so we went out and, you know, there was like five of us. And we just sat there and we just gorged on some amazing Spanish food. And then I went back to the hotel and just...
And you gorged on some other things.
Yes, of course. But, you know, nobody needs to know about that yet. And no, but you know what? I had a fantastic time. Overall, DC was an
A+.
She waddled
her ass home.
I did. No, oh my God. So it was Martin Luther King Day that Monday, and I was there that weekend. And the last time I was in DC, the monument that was built to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was not built yet. It wasn't there. It wasn't completed. So you weren't able to see it. So this time around, I actually wanted to see it. So I looked at my friend. I'm like, all right, do you want to take the walk? Because we're literally at the Hyatt Regency, which is in Capitol Hill. So that's right next to the Capitol building. And you walk the mall. That's almost 2 miles all the way to the end of it. And to get to the Lincoln Memorial, and then you wrap around and the Dr. Martin Luther King Memorial is right next to the Lincoln Memorial to the left. And then across from that is the Jefferson Memorial over the pond, over the Potomac River.
Yeah.
And so we decided we were going to walk. So we got to the Dr. Martin Luther King Memorial, and then we went to see Abe Lincoln. And, you know,
By the way.
Oh, he's doing amazing. He's been sitting there just chilling, you know, just having a good time.
I haven't seen him since June.
And he just keeps reading what he's got inscribed on that wall. And he's just like, you know, I'm tired of reading this shit. Can somebody get me out of here? These bars don't let me out. And so, you know, it was fun. They were building the stage and for the inauguration performance the day before the actual inauguration. So I got the bright idea of going right on that stage and just yelling at the top of my lungs, "This is how democracy dies," with thunderous applause. Mm-hmm. And of course, every single worker looked at me like, "What the fuck is wrong with this creep?" And then, of course, I got off before I got arrested because, you know.
You actually got on the stage?
I did.
You got off before you got arrested. I'm like, how?
Yeah, because now you have security
just in time
coming towards Fantasy. You. They were like, I just wanted to yell. I just wanted to feel like an artist screaming and singing out of this goddamn stage. And I walked away. And so the moral of the story was that once we were done and we got to the Dr. Martin Luther King Memorial and I saw it, it was absolutely beautiful. It's great. It was an amazing experience. We look at each other and we're like, oh my God, I'm exhausted.
We got to walk all the way back
to the hotel. Do you want to do that? And he's like, I really don't. I was like, all right, I'll tell you what. Why don't we walk to the White House, which is not too far. It's right after the, you know, Washington Monument, to the right if you're walking towards the monument. And I said, and we'll order a Uber from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. How
you
about we
said
do that?
It right.
I know. I normally say Uber. And so we did. So we walked, but they weren't letting anybody into the area where the White House is. So we couldn't order the Uber from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So we had to order it from the front steps of the Dwight Eisenhower office building, which is right on the other side of the White House. So we tried, but we couldn't. But then we ordered an Uber and we got back to the hotel. And that was the end of that story. Yay.
Boom. So good.
It was so gay.
They should make that a TV show.
I know, right? But overall, like I said before, DC was an A++. I love DC. It was an amazing experience. It was amazing the first time around, and it'll probably be amazing every single time I come back.
So. Nice. Was there anything that surprised you about the convention?
You mean the leather convention?
Mm-hmm.
No, because I've seen it all. It's not the first time I've been. So I knew what to expect. The first time around, I was like, holy shit.
How do you think I would have reacted?
You would probably be like, sure, whatever. Just give me a drink.
And like heels. Or something.
Which we had plenty of.
I know. Yeah. I get you.
Yeah. No, there was this one kid running around just literally taking loads from everybody in the hallways.
What?
I was like,
Paul was there?
No, seriously, but you know what?
Killed me.
I don't want to elaborate on DC anymore. I feel like I've spoken enough about DC. We are probably running towards the end of our show. There's a couple of more things that I wanted to talk about. Aside from DC, there's amazing things that happened to Ellen DeGeneres. Nick, I'll let you mention that.
Why do I have to mention it?
Because that is your...
Because you look like her.
That's actually not my story. Because I look like her.
That's what he said.
I do not look like... Okay, a little bit. I look a little bit like Ellen.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about what happened in front of Mike Pence's new home?
Oh, yes.
Oh, all the homos had a dance party.
I'm so sad I wasn't there. I'm so upset.
Work, W-E-R-K, like work. Uh-huh. For Peace, decided to throw a little dance party outside of Mike Pence's new home in D.C.
Can you imagine if they did that every night for the next 4 years? Let's do it. Let's organize.
Honestly, I don't think that would have worked out. I don't think they moved in yet.
Well, no wonder they were able to do it. Because you know that's not going to happen once they move in.
But I mean, like...
See, what I want is, how do they find out where he lived? Where was that information posted?
Well, that's public information. Yeah. I mean, we know that the president lives in the White House, and we know that every vice president has their residence at a specific location. They're always the same one.
But is it like it but was, there was a it's whole a home. But like, there was like a whole, rental home.
Right, but there was a whole article about this whole neighborhood because everybody was up in arms that he was moving into the neighborhood, and they put rainbows appeared at like every freaking house in the neighborhood because they just wanted to support the community.
All the neighbors.
As he was moving in. Mm. So when they had this dance party there, it was like, yeah, okay. Honestly, the neighbors probably joined in.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest with you.
Well, it says here that the party was outside of Chevy Chase's residence on Wednesday, and that was before the family actually moves into the Naval Observatory, which would have happened at the end of the week after the inauguration. Mm. That's what your story says.
That's exactly what it says.
Okay. Well,
proud of you.
Just read it.
You can read.
Look at that. Oh, my God. And I'm not speaking in cursive.
Right.
So anyway, so let's go back to, let's talk about this story. Ellen DeGeneres actually won 20, okay, not 19, not 18. As she says, she goes, 17, I get it. 18, sure. 19, I can see that. 20 is just absolutely outrageous. And what she's referring to is that she won 20 People's Choice Awards. That's more than anyone. And
crazy.
I could see why. And to me, the People's Choice Awards is one of those award shows that are actually amazing because they're chosen by the people.
I mean, I'm honestly interested to see what's going to happen with Ellen. Her voice and her being, her show, everything that she does is so positive and so inspiring and empowering. Well, I'm excited to see what she does in these next 4 years because I know that she's, I mean, like she had Obama on and Michelle on. You know, she's never going to have Melania or Trump on her show.
Well, you know what? I think she would.
I don't.
I think she would only to take the opportunity to possibly educate them.
Yeah. No, she's,
in some
no,
way,
she's
shape,
not,
or
she's
form.
Not, but here's the thing. She's not stupid. So
no,
you're,
no,
there's
she's
nothing
not stupid,
that you,
but...
there's nothing you can do to change Trump's mind. There's nothing you can do to sway him in any positive way.
We know that, but
he's
for
too
Ellen,
egocentric.
But for Ellen, you know that she's that type of person that she will need to try. Ellen has always been that person that she's tried to bridge the difference between being heterosexual.
She had, and like, has she had like controversial people on her show before? Because I can't think of anybody that
really.
She's had that like.
But she had Bernie on. She had Hillary on.
Right.
You know, like
so those are all like very like they side with her. Has she ever had someone on the show that she did not agree with?
To be honest with you,
no,
if
she's
I
made
can
some
remember,
public statements about not
correct.
Having people on the show.
Yes, like there was
like,
one individual.
She was going to have. God, I'm forgetting her name at the moment. She was a gospel singer.
Yeah, she's a
who just
singer.
Recently. She spoke out about gay people,
yeah.
And so then Ellen said, "Okay, you're not going to be on my show."
Correct.
So
and
like,
even the pastor, what was her name? She's very well known. She came out in support of this person, and the backlash has been big because. You know, Ellen is loved. I mean, she literally received the award, one of the highest awards that the nation actually provides a civilian. And President Barack Obama gave her that award. I think we covered this on our previous episode.
It felt like at the end of his reign, he was just like, award, award. He was just like chucking awards at people. He was giving everybody a fucking award.
The last one was the one that just got me. When he turned around and he said to his vice president, I'm giving you the last one. The very last award that I would give as president. You're getting it. And he gave him the award. I was just like, oh my God. And then he literally turned around and just put his hands, face palm, over his face. And he was just
crying.
Like, I cannot believe that you're doing this. I cannot believe that you know, you're putting me on the spot like this. But it was such a touching moment.
The utmost of bromances.
Oh, so yeah, and then, you know, beautiful.
And then now we have this stupid administration, which to me makes no sense. And you got someone like our press secretary today. What is his name? Help me out here.
Fucking, hold on.
Spicer.
Yep.
Is it Sean Spicer?
Sean Spicer.
You get someone like Sean who's just, you know, unfortunately came out and just was forced to lie.
He's also a bad public speaker.
Horrible. Versus our last
press secretary. He stumbled over his own fucking speech.
He was so amazing that Barack Obama took it upon himself to interrupt him during his very last address that he did to the press. To sit there and say how wonderful this man was and how dedicated he was for the time that he spent with the president and his family and talking about the issues in the White House. And he gave him such an amazing review that this man will never need to submit a resume ever in his life. Mm-hmm. If anybody ever say to him, okay, can I have a resume? All he needs to do is just pull up YouTube and say, that's my resume.
Yeah.
Look at the president of the United States of America, the real president.
Well, he's never going to have to apply for a job for the rest of his life, but that's beside the point.
That's what I was trying to say. It's just amazing. And so you're right. I mean, Obama just went out and said, here. It was just like, you know, he just started like, blessing everybody.
It was like, you're great. You're great. You're great. This is terrific.
You get an award.
You get an award. You get an award. You get an award. And you, Glenn North, get an award.
Glenn North does not get an award.
He does for speaking German sexy.
Oh, he does. It's amazing.
It's the highest award you can get.
Vielen Dank. That means thank you very much.
Oh, Lord have mercy. All right. I think we should get some announcements and start wrapping up the show. All right. So I will let people know we are on Patreon. Patreon is a service that allows our subscribers to be a part of our success. Using the service, our listeners can help us support the show with a donation. A monthly pledge of as little as a dollar can help us go a long way. So if you listen to the show and you love the show, help us do your part. And we're greatly appreciative. And Chris is not here, so I will read this part for him. Next week, we welcome back to the show two great co-hosts. We'll have Dave Hartman and Michael Buckley come on the show to assist us while Chris continues his studies abroad in Germany, which, by the way, we found another German that speaks it even much sexier. He's not German, but, you know, his German is just, yeah.
He's Canadian, though.
Throw that down there. Oh. We're just going to throw that out there. So we had a conversation with Chris earlier, and we had a recording, but he was a little drunk, and he sounded horrible, so we're not going to play it.
But I was wondering what you were going to say about that.
But I will tell you what he did say. He did say that he misses everybody greatly, and to our listeners, thank you so much for supporting the show and supporting him and for his fans. He is enjoying himself, and he's immersing himself in one of the best experiences of his life.
He's actually doing really well, too. He got appointed in his class to be the representative from his class. I guess every class has a representative, and they all meet and talk about how the classes are going, and they can, you know, represent whether they're learning this or learning that or whatnot. But he was appointed to be the representative for his class, so he's doing really good. Old boy's growing up.
Class for Chris. And he also took one of his first tests, and he scored a 38 out of 39.
37 out of 38.
Okay, so
get
it. 1 point. So he did. He did amazing. So enough. More claps for Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, we love you as well, and we miss you. And our listeners, I'm sure, are appreciative of the fact that you are following your dreams, which is important, and you are completing, actually scratching something off of your bucket list, which is to be in a foreign country and learn a foreign language. So we're proud of you.
Proud of you, girl.
And our birthday's coming up. Chris and I have the same birthday.
Oh, what is that?
I know.
That is the Super Bowl Sunday is our birthday.
Ooh, somebody's going to have a concert.
Me?
Lady Gaga is actually going to be there. Well, you can have a concert too, but I think Lady Gaga's doing
she's
the Super Bowl this
for
Sunday.
Me.
Yeah, sure is.
You know this is going to be political. I can't wait.
She's going to have something to say.
I just want to know. I want to know if it's going to be like new branded Gaga or like old Gaga or like some branch of the two. I'm so excited, but I'm apprehensive. I want it to be the old Gaga, but I feel like it's going to be like the new, like VMA's Performance Gaga, and I want it to be like, I want some like Just Dance.
Well, I think she's got this new album, Joanne, out, and you know, as with as a lot of people have mentioned, this is a new direction for her. It's a little bit more subdued. It's a little bit more country. It's a little bit more lyrical than most of her albums have been. And so you're right. It's interesting to see if she's going to make a political statement, what that is, and what genre of music she's going to decide to jump into. Yeah. So I'm ecstatically waiting. I can't wait.
I feel like I'm going to be watching the halftime show and I'm just going to be like, face palm. Or hand palm? Face palm. Face palm. Face palm. I said it right. Yeah, face palm the whole time. Yeah. I'm just going to be like, oh, she did it. Oh, she did it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she's going to do something and I'm just going to be like,
Can't be any worse than Madonna telling Donald Trump to suck her dick on national television.
I was ready for that. You guys weren't ready for that.
No, I don't even think the FCC was because they didn't bleep it.
You can't predict that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, right. She
you don't
slowed
know what
her
Madonna's
speech.
Dick's going to tell her to do.
She slowed her speech down on purpose so that she could avoid that beep. Because you know they do a 5-second delay. Mm-hmm. It was purposeful. Mm-hmm. She knew what she was doing. So anyway, Nick.
Oh, okay, my turn.
Yes.
So thank you to our guest host, Glenn North.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me again.
No, it was wonderful. Do you have anything you want to plug for yourself?
Yeah. So,
I was actually supposed to tell you to take off your pants now, but instead I'm just going to let you plug yourself.
Great. Last time I took off my shirt, it was like my pants. That's all I am to you guys. I'm just a piece of meat.
You can skip the other word too.
Flush.
So, so follow me on Instagram, NorthGG, or go look for my recent, I just posted a YouTube video today of my experience at the Women's March. So search on YouTube for Glenn North Women's March, and it should be one of the first to come up. And yeah, thanks.
And if nothing else, go see how cute he is. We've been talking about it. You need to go see for yourself.
Wink.
Mm-hmm. No, you have to. He's just absolutely adorable, and we just, you know, we had a fantastic time having you over and join us for the show. So thank you.
I love following him on Instagram. Oh, I'm like, oh, thank God. Good morning.
Yeah, it's lots of thought, lots of very thirsty pictures.
Jesus,
it's fine.
All right, so our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It's also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0, Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0, what do you know? Twitter, at gaytalk20, and our email is gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
And you can also contact us by visiting our website, which is gaytalk20.com, again, under the Contact Us tab. Here, you can actually leave us a comment or a suggestion. You can submit a question for the cast and or an individual host. And you can also leave us a question via voice message for the cast to answer on the show by calling 334-GAY-TALK. Again, that number is 334-429-8255. I want to thank everyone in-house today for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you and have a great night.
Bye!
Bye!
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.